You are now listening to In the Streets.
In the Streets.
In the Streets Radio.
Turn up!
The conglomerate.
I wasn't born last night. I was born on a flight. So high, not a hater in sight. You ain't fly, you dress like you might be scared of heights. And you got your nerve. And since I'm in the street, my bitch gotta have courage. She looking both ways, trying to find Mr. Right. Yeah. Thinking she can find him, cause she's standing by the light.
Yo, they ain't loyal. So it's your girl Nina Capone in the Streets Radio, Born to Talk. You already know. It's Tuesday night. We about to turn up. We got a live caller. We got an interview tonight. So just to give you a little background on what I'm doing tonight here, I do have a new co-host. Hello? Okay. So we messing up mics here and everything. Looks like we got a little short going on. I don't know. So I'm going to blame her. So here's the thing. I got a new co-host. Bring your mic down because you got to do some talking here. So what we're going to be doing, we got a new co-host here who is Diva Deej. Some of you may have seen her on my Facebook and Twitter and everything. And she's going to be joining me from now on, I guess, you know, on the Born to Talk radio and Born to Talk TV, which is coming in July. So she'll be tuning in. She may jump in. She may not jump in. She may look at me and just nod. She may not be ready for this. She's going to get ready, right, Deej? Say hi to the people.
What's up, y'all?
We got 4.2. They can't hear you. You got to talk to them loud. Say, what's up, y'all?
What's up, y'all?
There you go. So now that I didn't put her on the spot, you know, I'm all about embarrassing people. That's just what I do. I want to talk about, you know, my topic for the night. So, all right, before I jump into that, because I'm ready, like, to get started. I'm hype. I'm hostile. I'm crazy as usual. The show is doing well. We are back. We are back with Born to Talk. Born to Talk Radio is all about business. It's all about you moving forward, getting started, getting everybody, you know, everybody that's out here being entrepreneurs right now. It's a big business. It's something that's happening everywhere. It's crazy. I got my office phone ringing. Everybody wants to call when you're live on air, but whatever. So what we want to do is we want to start to kind of just hone in on those who are starting businesses, who are out here, who are doing it, who are taking a risk. It's not easy to jump into business for yourself. So we want to just kind of honor those people and make sure that we are an outlet to make sure they can get online and talk about it and share their experiences, share their stories, promote themselves, promote their businesses, and whatever else comes with that, right? So I'm going to pour my glass of wine here because y'all know I can't get through a show without shout out to Woodbridge. This is hosted by Woodbridge. Was it Robert Monday? Okay. Robert, yeah, thank you. So my poor co-host and my poor person that I'm about to interview. Wow. So needless to say, we have Born to Talk TV coming. Huge platform. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be wonderful. We will give the artists the opportunity. I mean, it's live in studio. You know, we have the big studio. Shout out to my sponsor, New Millennium, where we will be filming and putting on a show. I mean, it's going to be crazy. We get an artist the opportunity to stand on the stage, do their performance, then come sit on the couch, chit-chat with me, and tell me how they handling things, you know, how they're doing it. So without further ado, I would like to tell you who I got on the show tonight. I want to play some music, but I'm not going to play a bunch of music because I want to talk to this nice lady because she is just fabulous. You know, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. So I'm going to say Callen Johnson Chandler. And she is the owner of Essie's Paper Stationery and Whatnot, which is a desk and accessories company located in New York City, y'all. Essie's Paper was founded by Callen Johnson Chandler and who is also the co-author of the BAP Handbook, which I'll let her talk about. Essie specializes in modern stationery, desk accessories, and travel coffee mugs. And she just don't know. I collect mugs, so I was hyped when I seen this. She's going to tell us about her Black Girl Magic items that she has that are flying off the shelves right now. So I know I have to take a trip to New York very soon so I can go ahead and get some of this stuff because this is everything that I love. Right, Khadijah?
Yes, it is.
That's right. That's right. So without further ado, let's welcome Callen. I hope I'm saying, correct me. We're bringing
it's
you on the
Kaylin
line. How are you? Callen. And see, and I said that, and I was like, no, I'm not going to mess it up because it's a hell there, and it switched around. How are you, honey?
I'm good. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I wish I had some Robert Mondavi, though.
You know exactly what I'm drinking then. Yes, yes, yes. I'm like, okay, what does that bottle say? I don't know, but it tastes smooth and wonderful, and I'm enjoying it right now. So thank you for being on the show. And we are excited. We've been excited all week. So I've stalked your page. I've seen everything that you do. And I collect coffee mugs.
I love that.
And I was excited. I was like, oh, my God, somebody else has coffee mugs. So I was super excited to see that I'm not the only person in the world who has a thing for coffee mugs. So I want to just kind of jump in here. I know I kind of took, what, like maybe 5 minutes already. But I want to know, just tell us about, am I pronouncing your company right? Effie's Paper?
Yes.
And Stationery?
Effie's Paper,
okay.
Stationery and whatnot. You are.
Awesome. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about your business.
So Effie's Paper, Stationery and whatnot is a company focused on making your desk and your life pretty. So we focus and we create all sorts of things that make you smile. We've got amazing coffee mugs with cheeky phrases on them. We've got fun pens, stationery, notepads, iPhone cases, wall art, enamel lapel pins, notebooks, anything that you could use in your during the day from the time you walk out the door, sit at your desk and leave to go home, we're making it for you.
Yes. So are you a designer as well?
I'm a self-taught graphic designer. I'm a lawyer by training. And when I started my business, which is now about 5.5 years ago, I taught myself how to become a graphic designer. And so at this point, I'm doing all of the graphic design work, not only for the products, but also for the website and, you know, any graphics that you see on our social media feeds, et cetera. And I also do a lot of private label products for other small businesses that are hoping to sell similar products or who need branding help.
Love it, love it, love it. Well, congratulations. That's that Black Girl Magic. You know that, right? I'm thinking, like, I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. I'm going to be a graphic designer. I mean, and you know what? We have so much in common. I was a therapist, and I decided also to be a graphic designer. So you go, girl. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. So how did you even come up with the idea and the concept for your business?
Well, I have always, always loved stationery. And when I was a little girl, my grandmother worked for a greeting card company and always had stationery at her house for my sister and I. In fact, we had like a cabinet in her family room filled with stationery. So I guess you could kind of say it's in my DNA. My grandmother believed in writing a wicked thank you note, having bright red lipstick, and always carrying a hanky in your pocket. And those are tenets I follow to this day. But quite honestly, I had my aha moment was I had joined an organization, the Lynx Incorporated, and when I became a member of my chapter, I was gifted with all sorts of products, really lovely items, and I was writing thank you notes. And I just happened to look up, and the only stationery I had that I really loved, although I love stationery, was the stationery from my wedding. And that was stationery that I had art directed. We had a graphic designer who was based in London who did all of the graphics for me. But because we planned our wedding kind of in short order and she was in London and her printers were in India, I had to find a printer here in New York to do some of the collateral for the actual event. And I just learned a lot about the other side of the stationery industry. I knew a lot about it from the consumer perspective. So fast forward, I'm sitting at my desk, I'm writing thank you notes, and didn't love much of what was in front of me. And I just thought, you know, I should own a stationery company. I want to have a widget. I want a widget that I can sell online that will sell itself while I sleep. Now, I didn't know to think then that my widget was a bit antiquated. But be that as it may, that's I had my aha moment. And because stationery was something I associated with my grandmother, the name just came to me. Her name was Effie Hayes. And so my company is named after my grandmother, and it's called Effie's Paper.
Nice, nice, nice. That's nice. Awesome. I think I'm getting a little feedback here. I think I should turn me down. I got such a big mouth over here. So I do. I'm like, the wine doesn't help either.
It
makes
I'm
me
sure
more animated.
But that's okay. That's a good thing.
It gives us energy, right? It gives us energy. We're on internet radio. We can do what we want, right? So I wanted to ask, I'm going to get off my, I have a list of questions, but I always get off topic because I love interviewing, right? And I told you I can talk for days. So
you did.
What I wanted to, right, you know, and I'm like, hey, look, I own a show. I could just extend this. It doesn't matter. So so what I wanted to know is I'm a business owner. Mm-hmm. I've owned my business for 10 years, and I do something similar, branding, marketing, things like that. I'm more of a tech geek, so we specialize more in technology. But what's the transition? What was the transition of coming out of your 9-to-5 and, you know, just pretty much working for yourself? I mean, I find a lot of people who are making that transition now and who've made that in the past have been, you know, really skeptical of leaping or making that transition fully. You know, they kind of still hold on to that, what I call the medical insurance and the boss.
Right.
So
right.
What were some of the things that you would say you struggled with when making that transition?
Oh my God. I was almost sick to my stomach at the idea of thinking about leaving such a steady job. I worked at a big law firm and it was very prestigious, and the idea of leaving and trying to figure out how I was going to pay my mortgage was almost too much to handle. And I had a conversation with a girlfriend who just simply said to me, you know, if you take the leap, the net will appear, but you won't know that until you leap. And, you know, had she said that to me on any other day, I don't know if I would have received it in the same way, mm-hmm. but that really resonated with me. And so when I left my law firm, I left, and it took a lot of courage, and it just took a lot to make that decision. So when I left, right. I didn't quite know what I was going to do. And this is my second business. The first business I had when I left the law firm was styling busy professionals. I was a fashion stylist for busy professionals. So I was the friend that everybody came to from the time I was probably 14 or 15. If they had a formal event to go to, or, you know, a first date that they wanted to make an impression on, or just, you know, were trying to figure out how they should dress on a daily basis for work, and they liked the way that I looked, and could I help them out? And so I started that business initially. And as much as I love fashion and loved helping people get dressed, what I realized was sometimes, at least in my case, turning your passion into a job doesn't always translate into something that you love doing, because I didn't know all of the back end of things. So I didn't know to think about the fact that I was going to be kind of a psychologist and a hand holder, and in addition right. to a seamstress and, you know, the person who was carting the clothes around, and it was a lot more physical than I knew it to be. So there were just a lot of parts to the job that I didn't love.
Right.
And I was becoming a bit disillusioned and was looking for something else, and kept saying to my husband, I need to have a widget. I want to have a widget. And like I said, then I had my aha moment and made my segue from styling to stationery.
Nice. I mean, I do find what we're trying to do right now with the show is to take it to the point where we're kind of us people who actually made the transition. You know, it's only a handful of us, believe it or not, and we made this transition, and we faced our fears and we did it, right? And what I'm trying to do with this new, you know, Born to Talk radio show is to really get people to, you know, get up and close and personal with us so we can kind of mm-hmm. answer those questions. So that's where I got my questions from. I literally got my questions from the audience, And, you know, they want to, you know, we have questions. We want to know, like, how did it feel to transition? You know, so I do want to ask, not as a company, but as an individual, what's your mission? What's your mission in business here?
That's a good question. As an individual, my mission in business is to be a role model. And specifically, that's for my nieces. I have three nieces who are aged 10 to 18. They're all really bright young ladies. And I have two goddaughters as well. So I'm going to lump them in, and they fall into that age group. They're all really smart young ladies and have kind of, the world is their oyster. They have so many opportunities to do so many different things and be successful.
Okay.
Growing up, we didn't have, because one, you know, the internet wasn't what it is today.
Right.
And so growing up, we didn't have the sorts of options that kids coming out of college have today. You know, you were, in my world, you became a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, engineer, or teacher. And that was it. And I look at being an entrepreneur as something that they can look at and envision themselves being. Each of these young ladies has had an opportunity, and it might only be for a week while they were visiting during the summer, but each of them has had an opportunity to work in my business, to see me work in my business, to meet my employees. And I think that's really powerful. Also, because nowadays, all of us are living our lives online, particularly as business owners, right? I mean, so much of the marketing and advertising that we do is through social media. But these young people are living their lives online because that's just the way things have turned out. And I want them to have a role model, because a lot of their parents aren't online in the same way that they are. So I want them to have a role model who is posting responsibly, who's creating content that is empowering and creating products that make them feel good about themselves. So when you ask me about my personal mission is really to be an example for the girls in my life who are very important to me.
Okay, and I love that answer, because Diva Deed here is my oldest daughter, who's 21 years old. And
wow, that's
she
awesome.
Is, and so we have the same mission. I think we're the same person. I have to look you up a little farther into this. So, I mean, honestly, it's really I admire you. I admire what you're doing, because there's not a lot of women out here who have, you know, who look down on, you know, we say we look out in the crowd and we pick an audience and say, this is who we're going to aim our mission at, you know. And it's important, you know. I think we get in, as a rapper, you know, I could care less 20 years ago being a rapper, you know. Everything was the S word, the F word, and hell with him and hell with that guy and take his money, and you know. And then I kind of changed it up a little bit to try to include some messages, you know, because I'm like, wait. Nina, you got daughters.
Exactly. That's what happens as you get a little bit older, right?
Yeah, you start to think about what you're putting out there into the universe, because, you know, they follow us no matter what we think, no matter, you know, hey, I'm not a role model because I'm the core. You know, I've said that over and over again. I'm not a role model. I'm just a rapper. I'm a creator. This is what I do. And after a while, I start to see that they were being molded into me no matter what. So I had to change what I was doing, you know, change my focus and make sure that they had something to follow that was more positive, you know. And I commend you, because I do a lot of interviews. I talk to a lot of women. I do these conferences, and I'm out here, and you've probably seen all of my hundreds of pages. And I'm out here and I'm doing all of these things. And I'm talking to these youth groups, and there's a small handful of women like you and myself. And I say I don't run into you often, so thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well,
thank you.
That's kind of you. I certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, my daughters, they only listen to me sometimes, so at least they can check you out. I can at least, like, y'all see Miss Kaylin over there? She's doing her thing. Y'all can at least listen to her, you know, so because it's really hard to be a role model for those who know you. You know, those who, you know, especially when you're your mom, your mom, well, you're just mom, so you're saying this and you're saying that. But for my daughter to actually, you know, say, oh, Miss Kaylin has her business. Mom has a business, too. But, you know, my business is just the office that I go to get away from you and drink wine. So, you know, that's my daughter's cracking up. But that's my business. So your business is something else to look forward to see that this is all possible. And this is what I encourage my daughters to do, to become entrepreneurs, to take over this company. Because Lord knows, I'm not going to do it forever, right? So this is your company. This is what I built it for. So just, again, thank you. So I'm going to keep going because now I'm like so emotionally attached. I'm on Facebook Live. They're probably like, what is wrong? She's drunk. I'm not drunk. It's just I only had a half a bottle. I'll be all right. So tell us a little more about, like, so I want to kind of hear about the Black Girl Magic product because I love Black Girl Magic stuff. That just makes me, I feel so magical. Anyway, but tell us more about this product that's out here because I'm coming to New York.
Girl, you can also find me online at effiespaper.com. You know, Black Girl Magic, it's one of those things where I guess feather flock together. I have some really amazing women in my life, from my mom to my grandmother, who my company is named after, my sister, my girlfriends, and there I've met so many amazing women online, and it's sort of like the internet has made it possible for us to really shine in a way that we just haven't before. And it's not just the internet. I mean, obviously, it's just times have changed as well.
Right.
And we're living in a day and age where Black women can be all that they can be, and then some of what they never even knew to dream about becoming.
Right.
And, you know, one of my dearest friends is a corporate lawyer, so something I used to do as well. It's something that she loved and she truly has excelled at. And she became not only the first Black woman, but one of the youngest people at her law firm to be the managing partner of her international law firm. Right? I mean,
wow.
That's amazing.
I need
my other BFF.
Like, I'm sitting here like, yes.
No,
we're going to clap for y'all because this is awesome. Serious.
And my other BFF worked for 4 months on the Obama campaign in 2008. And she only worked on the campaign for 4 months, but worked really, really hard and made a huge impact. And after he was elected, I would say within, 3 or 4 weeks, she got a phone call and she was appointed to a position at the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
You know, and it's things like that where, you know, and these are my girls. Like, these are people I have known since my girlfriend who went to the Department of Justice, we've been friends for almost 30 years. And my other girlfriend is like 5 years less than that. So, I mean, these are people I know from way back when. And they're just as normal today as they were then. It's just that they've worked hard and they're smart.
Yes.
And they've done well for themselves. And to me, that's Black Girl Magic. I mean, look at Serena Williams and, you know, all of the amazing Black actresses we're seeing on television who are having an opportunity to really shine, or Shonda Rhimes. And just the fact that she has the imagination that she has to create all of these amazing shows and has been given a platform to do so. And there are shows and characters that men and women of all colors have fallen in love with. I mean, that's just, that's Black Girl Magic to me. And so in thinking about the kinds of products that I wanted to create and the way that I wanted to celebrate women and female empowerment, it just sort of made sense to me to create products that focus on that. And so at this point we have, six, seven products that are really about or focus on Black Girl Magic. We've got a couple of notebooks, coffee mugs. We have a makeup bag and an enamel lapel pin.
Okay.
All of which.
I'm going to need that.
I'm going to need to wear that to my next conference. When I speak, and I want to have my black girl magic on.
You should. You should. Because, it's an affirming thing. You know, it's something that you look at your coffee mug or you put your lapel pin on and it makes you feel good inside. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, if they get it, if they don't get it. It's really something you do for you.
Correct, correct. And I mean, it is. And it's important that we empower ourselves first. You know, just being a business owner. And I mean, some days I honestly sit down and just drop tears because I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Who are you telling? Okay.
Listen, I'm like, oh, my God, I got to get on the radio. I got to rush here. I got to do that. And, you know, it dawned on me that if I relax, calm down, and let it happen, it's going to happen. You know what? Because of my black girl magic, and I know I have that. And I honestly, I walked away, you know, I was managing an IT department. You know, I was doing good. I was empowered. I was, you know, really loving my role. I was, you know, I'm the queen of technology for in Philadelphia here. And I'm like, I'm not happy. I need my own. You know, and I started my tech firm 10 years ago, but I didn't give it what I gave the company that I work for. And I felt like I was ripping myself off, you know? And that's one of the things that I want to, you know, my personal mission is to make sure that we as black women, we as black business owners, not just the women, but we as black business owners don't rip ourselves off. We don't go take that super duper magic power, that black power that we have, and put it into someone else's business when we can put it into our own. So that's my mission. That's my new mission. It's what I do when I wake up in the morning right now. I'm on it. I'm driving everybody in my house crazy with it, and I'm happy about it. I am. You know, when you have children who are, my daughters are 17 and 21. I mean, I'm like, get in the office. You got to help me. This is the plan. This is your new job. And they're like, Mom, but you told me to do something yesterday. But you. And I'm like, that's all right. I'm writing you a new job description, you know, and you really want to excel. My goal is to help people. So my company slogan is a little bit of everything. And it's because that's what I do. When people walk in after they quit their job and they say, hey, I'm starting my business, I open my office up to them. Come in here and cry with me. And, you know, you need wine. You know, I was a therapist for 10 years. And being a counselor and a therapist and sitting there and understanding what people go through. And then I left there and I became a financial analyst. And
oh my gosh. So you've done a lot of different things. Okay. So yeah, we might be the same person. Or like, you know,
I think we're
from another mother or something.
I think we're twins. I finally found my twin. I'm telling you. I think it's happening. And, you know, and I look and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I put the two together because what I started to do was to relate finances to the psychological standpoint. And oh my God, boom, that's what's happening. People are the weakest because of finances. The fear is created because of finances. The stress is created because of finances, you know? And when you put all of that together and you can address that, that's magical. When you can say, I'm not worried about those things, that's where the magic comes in. But this is about you. So we're going to get back to you because I have more questions, right? So I want to know now, I mean, because new business owners are listening and most of my clients are listening in. And the next thing is, how do you advertise? How do you get your name out there? How do you put your business out there to the world?
Well, you know, there are lots of different ways to go about it. And to be perfectly honest with you, it's something I'm still trying to figure out. I do a lot. So I have a newsletter. And I have learned over the course of time that my best form of advertising are satisfied customers. So friends and family, who, you know, were my customers initially, right? And they would buy products for friends. And then their friends would have a positive experience with the brand, and then they would buy, and so on and so on. So I would say, first and foremost, friends and referrals are my best advertisers by far.
Okay.
But in terms of kind of just formal advertising, we have a weekly newsletter that comes out twice a week, and it talks about everything from new products that we have coming down the line to sales and promotions, obviously, but we also talk a lot about just lifestyle and healthy eating, healthy living, you know, recipes, just different things that are going on in my world. Yes, that we think, you know, others might find interesting. And I'm very consistent about that. It comes out every Wednesday and every Friday. And that way people are anticipating. We've done a little bit of advertising on both Facebook and Instagram, like paid advertising. But at this point, I have to tell you, I'm kind of in love with Instagram. And I've really been focused, I would say, in the past 18 months or so on Instagram and working to have a very consistent feed, look and feel to help people learn more about me, about the brand, about what our mission is. And then I would say a third, or maybe this is fourth component, and particularly for your listeners who are thinking about starting a product business or have a product business, is Etsy. I have an Etsy shop. And what's great about Etsy is that it's a built-in marketplace. So it's very similar to Amazon. You know, if you see a dress or you see a pair of shoes or you need to buy something for your kitchen, oftentimes you just hop on Amazon, right, to find what it is that you're looking for. Etsy is very similar. And so people are coming to Etsy looking for certain types of products. And I was not all that interested in Etsy when I first started out. I thought it was something that was for, you know, DIY moms, and that wasn't the category I fell into. But I've come to learn that the platform has grown quite a lot, but I've come to learn that it is a place that people are coming to looking for the kinds of products that I sell. And if you get on Etsy and learn to understand their particular search engine optimization, you can do a lot of great advertising on that platform, within that platform, and drive traffic to your site.
Nice. All right. And see, you know, I think with Etsy, it's like you said, a lot of people have that, you know, kind of register in their head. Oh, that's for moms who sew blankets. Because honestly, that's what I thought it was too. Before I started marketing and advertising, before I started my firm, I was like, well, nobody's going to go on Etsy for what? Like, I do digital marketing. Who cares, right? And again, it's one of the places where I find most of my business. So it's funny. I think, you know, having an open mind, really researching things and kind of looking a little deeper into resources that we especially free resources that we don't, you know, we kind of look over. And I think Etsy is one of the things that a lot of us designers and digital marketers and marketing specialists, we just kind of glance over. Like, I don't make blankets or name tags, so I don't care. I'm not looking at that. Because you do. You feel like that's what it is, you know. So I do want to ask another question because
– I want to follow up with one thing on that note. I would say the other area for my advertising marketing is PR. And I've been doing a lot of I've worked with some PR professionals, and I've had some good luck with that. But I've also done a lot of DIY PR. And there are some good DIY organizations out there for solopreneurs or small businesses.
So let me have you talk a little bit about that, because a lot of our listeners don't know what the DIY. I mean, of course, we live DIY, right? So talk a little bit about the DIY. First, let's talk, you know, do it yourself. So let's say what that means. And if I can have you kind of touch on that a little bit more, because I think it's important for our new business owners to understand what that is and what that means to what we do.
Well, my life is DIY at this moment, but to answer your question with respect to PR, you are pitching bloggers or magazines or media outlets on your own. And so that means that you need to create a media kit, and you need to, you know, have your elevator pitch down so that it's like the 2 second thing if you're actually in the elevator with someone or at a networking event, but it's also the email that you're sending out to people, introducing yourself, telling them a bit about who you are, what your company is, and why they should consider featuring you in their upcoming publication. And the two organizations that I've worked with that have been really great, one is called Tin Shingle, T-I-N, Shingle, and the other is called Sabina, S-A-B, as in boy, I-N-A, Knows. Great PR professionals who have dedicated their businesses to helping small business owners learn how to get publicity on their own without having to pay a monthly retainer to a PR firm.
Nice.
And so they teach
you
how to do all these things. Yeah, they exactly. They teach you how to put your media kit together. They teach you how to pitch the press. They've got information on the editors, because the editors are always changing at these different publications, and you know when
right.
you should send
right.
out your pitches for holiday, that kind of thing. So it's a lot of work up front, but it's certainly not to be discounted.
Awesome. And honestly, that's how you found me, because I try to explain this to people all the time, and you just did a way better job than me. I'm like, wait, like, you got to put yourself out there. That's my only answer. So, you know, it's one of the outlets that I make myself public in for people like you, because you are my audience. You are, mm-hmm. you know, you fall into the group of people that I look for, and there's as much, we say it like it's easy, but there's a strategy to it. There's a strategy to finding those outlets. It's not just kind of on the surface, and I think a lot of people think that it is. They're like, oh, I Googled it, I look for it, and I'm like, no, you have to look a little harder. You have to search this, right? So it's one of the things where I make my show available, because my aim is towards entrepreneurs and the DIY people, because those are the most important people to me in my show. So what do you, and this is a crazy question, because I'm in a process of hiring and firing and building a team. And, you know, for a marketing firm, it's, you know, I need energy, right? I need super mm-hmm. duper mm-hmm. high level energy. I need you to understand wine. I need you to drink wine with me. I need you to be happy. I need you not to get drunk. You go to events and represent me, right? So
right.
What do you look for in an employee?
That's a great question. Let me start off and say, and let me knock on some wood, I have been really, really lucky. I have had some amazing, amazing young ladies work in my business. And initially, I didn't know what the formula was. Over the course of time, what I have learned is the people who work best in my business are people who love my products and who buy into me and who are loyal to me and who want to help me be successful, because they realize that if my company is successful, that means that they're going to be successful and I'm going to bring them along for the ride. So a great example
right.
is a young lady who started out with me when she graduated from college about 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years ago now, as an unpaid intern. And 6 months in, or maybe about 4.5 months in, you know, we had a conversation of, you know, how are you feeling? Is this working for you? It's working for me. And she came on board as a paid intern and was doing kind of all different sorts of things in the business. It was just sort of whatever needed to be done. She came in a couple of days a week and had a task of things to take care of.
Nice.
As I began to focus more on social media and had an opportunity, you know, by this point I knew her a little bit better and had an opportunity to assess her skill set, I thought, you know, she'd be really good at social media. She's got an art history background. She was a minor in graphic design. So as I'm still learning these programs, she can help me with this. So I put her in charge of our Instagram feed. And it was at a time
okay.
when I didn't have, I couldn't think about Instagram. I had far too many other things going on.
right, right.
And
right.
for about a year, she ran with it on her own, and she did a great job because we didn't have a strategy. We were trying to understand what it was.
Right.
And she came to me and about a year later and said, I really love working with you. I really love what I'm doing, but I'm kind of having a quarter life crisis and living in New York post college with a couple of internships. I don't think I can swing this any longer and I'm going to move home. And so my heart stopped because I was like, no, I can't lose you. And I was like, okay, well, what are you thinking about doing? And she was like, well, I mean, I think we could work virtually. I wouldn't be able to come in and, like, you know, obviously help with some of the, like, packaging orders and that kind of thing. But, you know, I'm hoping we could figure out a way to work virtually where I could really just kind of take over all the social media. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you. And I said, yes, we can do that. I said, but now what are you going to do when you get home? Are you going to look for a job in an art gallery? Are you going to look for a 9-to-5? Like, what's your plan? And she was like, I don't know. I'm having a quarter life crisis. And I said, well, look, I know a lot of entrepreneurs and I sing your praises to anybody who will listen. I could help you start a business if you want. I know enough people who are looking for somebody to take over their social media. Would you want to do that for other businesses? And she said, oh. And it just happened that we were having this conversation on a Friday. And I said, look, why don't you think about it over the weekend? Let's talk again on Monday. And if this is something you think you'd like to pursue, I will put you in touch with my friends and see what we can do. And so that's, in fact, what happened. And now this young woman who, like I said, we're about 4 years in together, is my social media manager. We have interns who work underneath her. She has her own business where she is the social media manager for a number of other small businesses. Okay. And those are the sorts of things that I want to do for the people who come into my business and show me that they're loyal to me and they want to help me grow my business. So
nice. That's
kind of a long explanation, but really it's finding people who you connect with, who get you,
right.
who get your quirks, because we all have quirks, who love you
right.
in spite of them, and who are going to work hard in your business because they know that ultimately that's going to pay off for everybody.
Right, right, right. And it's important. I mean, I have OCD, so I've been diagnosed. And working for me is like, oh, my God, if you move her cup, she's going to know. And I keep my mug. Literally, I have to send you a picture. I keep my mug on the table. So when I come in the morning, I know if anybody touched my mug.
Yep.
Right, because my mugs say flawless. I woke up like this. And
ooh.
Each one has a different saying on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so it's just outrageous. I'm crazy. I'm like a crazy person. I'm like, oh, my God, who touched my desk? Because I know how I left everything. And, you know, not to be a pain, but it's who I am. I say it's my disability, guys. Listen, I should get a check, but I'm not. So y'all have to deal with it, right? So we try to deal with this, and we try to get through. I have social media pillows on the couch, and I'm telling you, I'm going to send you a picture of this stuff. It's outrageous, and if anybody moves the social media pillows around, I know, and I lose my mind about it. So working for me is not easy. I've actually had a disgruntled employee who, because I'm very particular, who actually managed my calendar. And the craziest thing happened. I'm going to share this live on it to all 4 million people who listen to me and my nonsense. I'm going to say that this woman decided to delete my calendar, which, But see, what she don't know is I'm a technologist. I have backups of everything, okay? You can't get me. So, which the only thing you will be is fired, okay? But, you know, and she's a beautiful person. She's really, really nice. She started out helping me with events and planning and putting things together and just the total, you know, you have an event, you have to clean up, and you're like, oh, my God. So she was like, she's like the ultimate person. And then she, like, I don't know, she went through this bad relationship, and she turned against me and like, hey, I'm not him. I don't even look like him. What are you doing? Why are you so mad at me? And
So, you know, I had that experience, and I had to just, like, kind of delete her and take her off for everything. And it was disturbing. It was so sad. And, like, you know, because I wanted to see her grow with my company. But
yeah.
I know she won't. But, you know, you kind of look at things, and that's why I wanted to know, like, what do you look for in an employee? Because this woman was awesome. She was good at everything. She was like a little clone of me. Like, I could really create her into what I wanted her to be. But, unfortunately, she had some deep down anger issues, and I didn't have pills to fix that, so I had to let her go.
Well, like, that was probably in both of y'all's best interest.
Oh, it was, because I'm a fighter. I was a rapper, right? So you
right.
already know what's going to happen.
Yeah, so that probably worked out for the best. But I don't know if you do this. I mean, like I said, I look for people who kind of get me, but I also, as I'm looking at resumes and I'm interviewing people and talking with them, I'm also looking for people who have strengths in areas that I don't. So
right.
I'm not an Excel chart person. I'm not a numbers person. I am not a, let's put it in a graph and make it pretty. I'm not the person
right.
who can, you know, do a deep dive on SEO. It kind of makes my eyes swim and it sounds like the Charlie Brown adults. And so, you know, for those sorts of things, like I have an amazing, I've been lucky. I've had a couple of amazing assistants. And what I need in those young ladies are people who are really good at that stuff and who will
right.
figure it out, who'll put it in a chart, and who will force me to sit down and look at it.
Right.
So
right.
in addition to getting me, I also look for people who have strengths that I don't have.
Awesome. And that's important. That's definitely important because that's how you build a team. I mean,
yeah.
honestly, you know, I have a new intern starting at the end of the month, and one of the things I find in him, he's analytical.
Mm-hmm.
I am all over the place. I'm an artist, so, you know, I like lines and pretty colors. I'm like, what?
Exactly.
What numbers?
Yes.
You know?
You want something pretty, I can make it pretty.
Yeah, I can make it pretty, but you want me to put it in order. What do you mean? You know, so I'm bringing this guy in, and he goes, he's a Temple graduate. Well, he's going to Temple, actually. He's about to be a Temple graduate. And, like, he's worked for me in my previous company, and he's awesome. So I'm excited to bring him on board along with my daughters. You know, my daughters, I'm more along branching for CEO status because
mm-hmm.
I want a vacation for the rest of my life.
Don't we all, right?
That's like the most outrageous thing to say, but I really do. I want to just take a vacation and never come back and take my mom with me. And we like sip wine, fine wine and talk trash. And we talk about people and sit on the beach and be fat. So that's my goal, you know? And I'm like, I had two daughters. I mean, that's what my life is supposed to be about. So you explained the employee, and that's so, so important because hiring people has been a huge challenge for 90% of my clients personally. You know, when they come in, the issue is that they had an employee who built a website, and now the website doesn't work, and they don't know how to do it, and they hate them now, and they can't get access to their domain name and things like that. So what – so, you know, it's like it's one of those things where, you know, finding a good employee is like – I don't know. I guess it's like 100, you know, it's 100% of what you got to do right, you know. so I want to talk about location, and I want to mm-hmm. talk, I'm going to kind of give you a brief story of why I want to talk about location, because I'm the biggest mistake maker ever on the planet Earth. So I made the biggest mistake, and I moved my business into a county where it was cute and subtle and it's like a pretty town and all that stuff. And I didn't get any business, right? So now I just recently relocated into the hood. I'm in a deep down hood now, and everybody knows that I'm here. And they like, yo, what up? I'm like, what up, yo? Come on in. What's up? You know, like I get to be the most outrageous, craziest person ever and still have my pretty signs and things up. And I realized I get way more business because I wasn't targeting my market, you know. Mm. So I want to talk about your location and what made you choose that location because it's so important when starting a business.
Well, my location is online, and you can find us online on Etsy at Effie's Paper and at our URL, which is effiespaper.com. Up until last November, I was running my business out of my home. I now have a studio that
okay.
I work out of and that my assistants come to, but I don't have a standalone store.
Okay.
And so people shop with us online, and that's working well for me. I don't know that I want the responsibility of having a standalone store, to be perfectly honest with you.
I don't blame you.
That's like a whole other ball game.
You know, look, I don't blame you. Don't do it.
Yeah. People come looking at my door now. They're like, what is she doing now? She got microphones out. Is she on the air? You know, you don't want it. Like, this is my overall business. It's everything in one. So, yes, mm-hmm. it's a headache. It's a headache. It really is. So how's it going just kind of being solely online? How is that for business? Like, how would you define your day-to-day operations? How does it work for online business?
Just how does the business run?
Yeah, like,
so.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, okay, so when you work in a traditional job, you go in, and I'm just really comparing the 9-to-5 compared to running your own online.
Okay. Yeah, no day is ever the same day. I mean, for me, and I still work from home twice a week because my office is not that big. So when my girls are in the office, there's really not enough room for all of us to be in the office with the product and the printer and the computers, et cetera.
Right.
For me, what's really important is getting out of the house every day in the morning and having kind of a mini commute. So I will go out and get coffee. I typically go to the gym. I come back, and then that's when I get started. And I think that having worked at a large law firm for a long time, I'm a fairly disciplined person, and
right.
I create a to-do list every night, just like I did at the firm, so that I know in the morning when I sit down at my desk what the three most important things are that I need to get done. And then
okay.
I have a to-do list that, you know, might run over. And no day is the same. So here's a great example. This morning, I noticed that a couple of orders had come in overnight, and then four or five more came in, you know, by about like 10 a.m., which is, we're kind of in a slow season. I was like, okay, this is great. Well, the next thing I noticed is that they all like immediately canceled. Like, there's something wrong. And
right.
so I had to kind of go through all the steps to figure out what was going on. I had to get my web developer involved. And long story short, my authorized net plugin for my WooCommerce shopping cart had expired. You know, is that what I would typically do? No, but was today a typical day in that something went wrong? There was a fire that had to be put out? Yes, there's always,
right.
there are always fires that have to be put out. And there
Absolutely.
Are oftentimes when, you know, you think you're going to be focused on creating new product or working on the wedding suite that you have promised this client that you're going to have to them by next Monday. And,
right.
you know, all hell breaks loose and you know, you got to put your fingers in the dike and stop the water from going out.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
you know, my day consists of strategizing with Chloe, my social media manager. You know, we try to plan kind of 2 weeks out what our feed is going to look like, what our newsletters are going to consist of. I talk with Aubrey, my assistant, about various requests that have come in and, you know, how we're going to respond to those. I am fielding requests from people for custom orders or people, you know, wanting to have a consultation to think about how they
right.
start their own business. I mean, it just varies. And so what I have learned
right.
is that I have to be very specific with my time. And
right.
I've started to use and have a lot of systems in place
mm-hmm.
so that when I do get sidetracked, it's very easy to get back in. So, I mean, a great example, I mean, the phone is probably – the phone and phone calls, I should say, and social media are the biggest distractions that I find. And
right.
so I use a program called, I think it's called Phone Tag. They've changed a lot. But I never answer my phone when it rings. I always let it go to voicemail. And
okay.
the way this program works is it transcribes the voicemail and then sends you an
mm-hmm.
email. And that way I can very quickly look at that email and determine if it's something, one, that I need to respond to immediately or not. Two, if it's something I can forward to my assistant and have her deal with. Three, if it's something I need to handle. But I can do that, you know, in a matter of 5 seconds versus actually having a phone conversation with someone that could take, you know, even just a quick chat could take 5 to 10 minutes of my time.
Exactly, exactly. And time is money when you're working for yourself. I've learned that the hard way.
You hear my phone ringing right now. I'm like, it's like 9 o'clock. Who's calling my office right now? Seriously, like, what do you want? You know, I think that's one of the things you kind of, I mean, and in my business, you know, being that consulting, that coach, you know, that consultant and that coach, you know, people want to talk to you all the time. And I'm like, okay, you have to. So what I start doing is I start stressing people out, but I use Visita and it charges them before they can talk to me. So after a while.
What is that called?
Me,
I like that.
It's called Visita. I'll send you the link. And I'm one of the builders of it, so I can definitely show you how to use it and all that good stuff. But it's awesome. It makes them pay before they can talk to me, before they have that appointment scheduled. You know, because I open my calendar up. I let my people schedule themselves. Schedule your time. That's great. Because for each and every second of my day that you take up, I get paid for it. Because you cannot schedule that appointment. It does not reach my calendar until you make your payment. And that's across the board. And it's so important because people don't understand when you work for yourself, every minute counts. Mm-hmm. Every minute counts. And it's outrageous. And I'm not going to go on too much longer. We didn't take a music break or nothing. And I met my twin and I love it. We talked for the whole hour. This is awesome. This is so great. So this is a great interview. But I do want to ask one question. If you had one piece of advice to someone who's just starting out, what would it be?
My advice would be to really do your research. Make sure that this is something you want to do. I'm finding that I'm finding that people seem to think it's really easy to start a business and be online, and are jumping into projects and spending money on having websites built out or purchasing inventory, and not really understanding that the people you're looking to and comparing yourself to are probably 4 or 5 years ahead of where you are. And while it may seem easy, it's not. And there are lots of days that I really love what I do, but there are lots of days where I'm pulling my hair out.
Right.
And I think you owe it to yourself to do your research, learn about the industry you're hoping to go into. And by learn, I don't necessarily mean call somebody or email somebody and ask them to tell you how they did it. I mean, get online, you know, use Google, let your fingers do the walking, and do some research and read and educate yourself so that if you do have an opportunity to get that person on the phone or get in front of them at a networking event, you're asking intelligent questions. You are showing that you've done some research and you're trying to figure things out and you're looking for some guidance as opposed to looking for somebody to hand you a blueprint. But I can't underscore how important it is to research what you're doing. You know, from everything to I'm building a website and which shopping cart should I use? Well, there are a bunch out there and they all have different pros and cons. You should take some time and investigate. And just because
you can always contact me. I'll charge you.
Or hire somebody, but
that's
you know,
me.
And it doesn't mean that you do the research or you investigate, and you're going to end up in the right place. This path is going to take all sorts of twists and turns, but you will put yourself in a much better position if you do some of the research up front, and you just have an understanding of what you're embarking upon up front. I am one of those people who I have an idea and I'm ready to hit it, you know, I'm hitting it on all fours. I'm full steam. And I think a lot of us are that way. It's not the best way to be. You know, I wish I wish, for example, when I had started, I had a bootleg website that my childhood BFF knew a little bit about coding and was able to make for me. And she had said to me, maybe you should just start on Etsy, Kaylin. I think it's free. I don't think it costs that much money. And I was like, I'm not doing Etsy. I need to have my own website.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I just should have started on Etsy and I should have gotten proof of concept. And, you know, so I've done things a little backwards, and I can't say that I would redo anything. But if someone coming to me were to say, what should I do? I would say, do your research.
Right, and now you become, we were off air, but we are still recording. So you become now a resource, and that's important because, you know, a lot of people starting out, I mean, honestly, what I charge for is that kind of information, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a consultant, and my company is called My Biz Consulting, and that's what we do. We get people to not make those mistakes, you know. I've made every single mistake. I think I have a list. I posted this big giant list up in my office. Like, hey, you want to know? I can screw it all up. I did that. Okay. So, you know, just kind of doing that on my behalf. And I know a lot of people, you know, and I've gained trust with being an entertainer and being a radio host for many years and being a radio station owner. I've reached out to people, you know, and I've gained a level of trust with people where they'll come to me and say, hey, I want your advice because,
right.
you know, I trust you because, you know, you have a radio station that's been around for 12 years. You know, you
mm-hmm.
have a radio station that's reaching 13 countries, you know, so it's a big, big accomplishment. And honestly, I didn't know until someone asked me and I ran a report. And I was like, you know, let me run a number.
You didn't really know what your reach was, did you?
Yeah. And they're like, what's your reach? I'm like, what's my reach? You know what? I can probably run a report for that because I do grab that information. And don't look at it, but I do grab it. You know, and I was able to pull that information and say, holy crap, I'm reaching Russia. I'm reaching Brazil. I'm reaching Australia. And just to know that, you know, I know I'm selling records there, but I didn't really realize that the radio station was reaching that audience. And, you know, it was kind of a level of satisfaction to, instead of saying, hey, I'm reaching 4.5 million listeners, but to send a report to actually document and show my reach was like, I almost fell out of my chair. I was like, hey, I am dope.
You are dope.
I need another
okay,
bottle
awesome.
Of wine. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, but you get there and you're like, wow, I'm doing this because I do it from such a level that of humbleness. You know, I'm humble. I'll talk to anybody. I hug people because I'm crazy. My husband's like, well, you just can't jump off the stage and hug people. And I'm like, but that lady needed a hug. Did you see her? She needed a hug. You know, I am that person. And I definitely love people. I have an awesome love for people. And, you know, everything I do, I mean, whether it's the radio show or the TV show or just the consulting in itself, it's something that I do to reach out to people. And I love meeting people like you. You know, who I can say, hey, I know this lady, even though I don't, you know, I take credit anywhere. I'd be like, I do know Kaylin Johnson Chandler. I do know her. Okay. I'm going to New York and then we're going to have coffee and our pretty mug.
We definitely
you're not
are.
Gonna, well, yes, we are. Because I'm coming. Look, I tell people all the time, I don't have a job. I can just get up and go to New York. Like, I work for me. I mean, I do have a boss that I created in my head. You know, and he kind of clocks me and, you know, he writes me up and he gives me pink slips and stuff and he tells me he's going to fire me and all those type of things. But I manage him, so he doesn't really matter. So I like to do things like take trips and things like that. So I will be coming to New York to celebrate you because you are awesome. I will be bringing my daughters because it's important that they understand what I do. But we're coming soon, so we're off the air, but anybody that's tuned in can still hear us.
So I do want you to share your website and your social media. I'm going to continue to promote you. Please also keep me in mind. Send me emails. You're not killing me. I'm not mad. I will never get angry. I have an assistant. She'll check it. And we'll get you posted on our website because we want to promote what you do because it's very, very, very important to me that, you know, not only businesses and small and entrepreneurs and women, but black businesses get, you know, the notoriety that we need when we're growing because we don't really have a medium to really promote ourselves like that. So that's what I'm trying to create here. So definitely send me all the wonderful promotions. Keep me in a loop. Spam me. I'll get mad. I'll yell at you from here. You won't hear it. You won't know. And we'll still post it because that's what I do.
Well, we will be adding you to the list this evening, my dear. And I certainly, certainly appreciate it. This has been awesome.
Thank you. Can you just share your website and social media so my listeners can follow you and stalk you with me? And
yeah, absolutely. My website is effiespaper.com, E, F as in Frank, I, E, S as in Sam, paper.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Effie's Paper. And on Facebook, we're at Effie's Paper Stationery, stationery with an E.
Nice, nice, nice. So thank you so much, Kaylin. It's been a pleasure. I will be in touch. I'm going to send my follow-up email thanking you to be on the show. And you just thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything that you do, which you stand for. And I will also keep you in the loop and support you. So if you need anything, you have a special you're running, you want to do another interview, just yell. I'm here.
Oh,
okay?
And you know what, Nina? I wanted to give your listeners a discount code that will be valid through Friday on effiespaper.com. It's Black Girl Magic for 15% off anything on the site.
Black Girl Magic. Y'all hear that? Black Girl Magic for 15% off everything on the site. So y'all better hurry up. Y'all better hurry up. Because my daughter writing it down right now. She like, Mom, I don't know. I get paid this Friday. So, so I know when to get my Black Girl Magic stuff right now. I'll be on the website in a few minutes. So, again, thank you for just joining us this evening. We definitely appreciate you. And you'll be able to pull this off and give it to your fans and promote it and everything. So we definitely
awesome.
Appreciate you for being on the show. And we'll be in touch soon because we're going to invite you back, okay?
Thank you, Nina. I really appreciate it. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. You have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. It's your girl, Nina Capone. We are out of here. Yo, that was the amazing, wonderful, phenomenal Black Magic woman. Yo, we don't get those type of people out here right now from Effie's Paper Stationery and whatnot. Make sure you check her out. Her website, again, is effiespaper.com. That's E-S-S-I-E-S paper.com. Make sure you support her and check out her business. It's so important to just, you know, it's all about black business, you guys. And it's amazing, and I just want to thank her for being on the show. It's your girl, Nina Capone. We got Diva Deej. Block Talk, we're not on Block Talk. Industries and Radio. This is what happens when you have too many wood bridges. But Industries Radio, Born to Talk Radio, and we're out of here. It's time for us to go, y'all.
Industries Radio, Nina Capone.